how many of you have been watching the news? You've been checking all the stuff out. You know, it's hard not to watch the news. It's kind of like a train wreck, you know, or a car wreck. I remember we were headed out to see my son in Missouri one time, and it was so crazy because all of a sudden we were just in this horribly slow traffic on Route 70 out toward, I think we were still in Illinois, and we were going through some hills, and you couldn't see why, but we crept along for about an hour, and finally we get up to it. It's a four-lane highway, two lanes going this way, two lanes going this way, and over in one lane on the other side, it was worse because they were down to one lane. We weren't down to one lane where we were at, but we were down to rubberneckers. Seriously, as soon as we got to down the hill to the little bridge where this accident was on the opposite side, all of a sudden the car started to take off. And I thought, why are you looking? Who cares? Why are you stopping? You know, it's like there's things that happen like that. We can't avoid it. It's just almost impossible for us. It's human nature. And so, you know, we do want to know what's going on. That's important, too. We want to know what's going on. So most of us are following the news right now, wanting to know what's happening next. And there are a lot of things that are being said. How many of you feel like you watch the news and you walk away going, feels like confusion, doesn't it? It's like, what are they talking about? Did anybody notice that we weren't supposed to wear masks, but now we are? Yeah. I actually heard a statement from one of the officials that does the briefing. It was kind of, she said it out loud, that originally they kind of knew we should wear masks, but they didn't want us to because if we did, then we'd suck up all the masks that were needed for the healthcare workers. And I was doing the math on that. I smarter people than me maybe have figured this out, so I'm going to trust them, but wouldn't it have been better to have more people wearing masks so less would be sick, so less would have to see the healthcare workers, so the hospitals wouldn't have had to have as many people than letting people get sick? And then, but then there's this herd immunity thing and just, yeah, you just, and it seems, I feel confused sometimes. I wanted to read this verse to you, 1 Corinthians chapter 14 and verse 33. And if you will, you want to open your Bibles, go to John 8:44, because that's going to be one of our main ones for today. But while you're going to John 8:44, I'm going to read 1 Corinthians 14:33. And here's what it says. For God is not the author of confusion, but of peace, as in all the churches of the saints. So when you're feeling confused, I do want to say, think a little bit about that confusion, and then settle it in yourself that something there probably has a level of lack of accuracy. I don't want to say they're lying. I don't know that they know, but the enemy is the author of confusion. That being said, I am going to talk about truth today and the power of truth and the importance of truth. And, you know, if God is not behind if God is not behind confusion, then we know who is behind confusion. That's the thing that we need to remember. If we see something and it seems confusing, we need to pull back a minute and say, okay, where is the enemy trying to work in this? I mean, I've made people confused before too. You know, the enemy works through my lack of clarity, but you know, the enemy might work in that case to try to keep us from communicating. And what we need right now more than anything is honest communication is a big deal in the time that we're living in. So we know that if God's not behind something and there's confusion, and he's not behind confusion, then we know that somebody else is trying to confuse things. So we're hearing a lot of competing information, a lot of different experts saying a lot of different things. They seem to contradict each other, and that's cumbersome, it's bothersome, it's a lot of things. And then on top of that, how many of you, especially if you're on social media, how many of you are getting the wild and crazy conspiracy theories? Yeah, I have people who send me stuff. You know, they, have you seen this, Pastor Tim? Have you seen that, Pastor Tim? And, you know, and here's the thing. Anybody can put anything together, and sometimes what they put together is just nuts. And sometimes there's truths in it. You know, I do think there's information out there that somebody gets this piece, and then they add, you know, 10 pieces that have nothing to do with anything to it, and try to make you know, some kind of conspiracy out of it. Whatever you think, I think the most important thing for us, for the believer, is to remember that we are people of truth, that we want the truth. And if somebody does tell you something wild and crazy and nuts, you don't have to get mad at them. Just take it into advisement, sometimes consider the source, and then you just kind of go, okay, you know, because the truth is going to eventually make its way through everything. And we'll talk about that more in a little bit. But John 8:44, one of my key verses in this message today. And I have got a lot of scripture again, so if you're wanting to take notes. In fact, I actually have a sheet that I can print out if you want it later. Ask me for it. I've got 41 scriptures. That's not all the scripture I'm using today. I'm using more than 41, but I've got 41 in a row. You'll see why I'm doing that in a second. But here in John 8:44, you are of your father, the devil, and the desires of your father you want to do. He was a murderer from the beginning and does not stand in the truth because there is no truth in him. When he speaks a lie, he speaks of his own resources, for he is a liar and the father of it. That word father, I want to focus on that for just a second. What does a father do? Most women will say, not much. You know, well, he didn't do a whole lot, you know. He just, a father donates a seed. He plants a seed. And then what does he do after that? Not much. You know, he doesn't have to. He's given the seed, and then somebody else is left with the results of the seed. So a lot of men aren't around, even in this world sometimes. That's very sad to hear, but it's true. There are a lot of men who aren't around. They've planted a seed, and some woman carries this child, and then she brings the child into the world, and sometimes there's no man there to help. It's horrible. It ought not to be that way, but we know it's true in some cases. By the way, though, I want to say this to the men, you may not be able to give birth in the natural, but there is an enemy, a father of lies, who wants to plant seeds in you. And if he plants a seed in you, you can get pregnant with that lie. And you can carry it, and you can be part of giving birth to it. This is true about all of us. And that's why when the scripture says that the devil is the father of lies, we need to think about what that means. Because the devil does lie to us, but a lot of times his lies come in the form of a seed, where we get questions in our mind, and if we're not careful, we end up bringing that to pass without his help. He just planted the seed. All of us, at one point or another, that are living, have suffered things that we didn't have to suffer and experienced things that we didn't have to experience. But there is a greater promise about truth. And this is probably my most important verse for the day. In John chapter 8, verse 31 through 32, actually before Jesus rebuked these people, as he did up there in verse 44, then Jesus said to those Jews who believed him, "If you abide in my word, you are my disciples indeed, and you shall know the truth, and the truth will make you free." This is why truth is so important to us, and this is why sometimes I get a little nervous when things are done where something is kind of shaded a certain way to get a certain result, but it wasn't the truth. You know, I mentioned the whole thing with the mask thing. They did it here in America. They did it in England, I was told, heard the other day. And they really said, don't wear masks, because they were afraid that if we started wearing masks, that all the masks would disappear and the healthcare workers wouldn't need them. Now, why would they think that? I mean, it didn't happen with toilet paper. So I get what they were doing. I kind of get it. They didn't emphasize the mask thing at first because they were trying to get this other thing figured out. And it's important that our healthcare workers have masks, as otherwise they're not going to want to come to work, and I don't blame them. They don't want to get this thing. Well, yeah, but, you know, if for example, New Yorkers who travel, unlike us, crammed into, you know, little boxes that go through subways and the streets called buses and subways, you know, they, if they hadn't shared, maybe they wouldn't have had as much. And it's kind of like, it's the chicken or the egg thing, right? We don't know which to do first. So I get it where governments are in a quandary. They don't know what to do. Leaders are trying to figure out what's the best thing. But when we know the truth, I believe if you can get the truth out there, people will respond to truth, because I think people want something to believe in and they want to know the truth. I think that's a big deal nowadays. And so we want to be people as Christians who are focusing on the truth and not assisting any father of lies in planting seeds. That's what I want to caution us on this level to today. The church is called to freedom. We are the church. We are to be set free. We are called to seek the truth. And even now, the seeds of truth are being planted by what I'm saying and planted by other online messages that are going out, you know, across the internet and all those kind of things. So the truth that sets us free is where we should focus. And sometimes when we're focusing on all the confusing stuff, we need to just kind of, okay, don't know what's there for sure. Maybe that's got some truth to it. Maybe it doesn't. I probably need to go back to the Word, because Jesus is the truth. He says, I am the way, the truth, and the life. So that's where I want to encourage us to go. Have any of you, by the way, heard reports that make you think that a lot of reporters, yeah, reporters, I better not get started there. Bunny trail, come back, don't go. A lot of people are saying things like, life is never going to be the same. And they say it in ways that indicate that, you know, it's just going to get worse and worse and worse and worse and worse. You know, the implication is that things are changing and not for the good. What if things are changing, but actually they might get better? Is it possible things could get better? Well, Pastor Tim, you know, the curve, you know, it goes up and finally it does go down. But when it's going up, it's getting worse and worse. And then in the future, we're going to have to do things differently because we got these curves that we got to deal with now. And, you know, and I get that. You know, there are people who are talking about never having stadium events again. You know, and a lot of people are shaking their head and saying, yeah, well, but what if things are getting better? There are more resources right now being injected into the investigation of influenza than has ever happened in the history of the world. Nations across the world are looking at influenzas more closely, more carefully, more intently than ever in the history of the world. I heard one guy say that he thinks that a result that could come out of this is we might actually come up with something that they've been talking about for centuries. The cure to the common cold. What? Maybe they'll figure out better treatments than we've ever had and better vaccines than we've ever had, or better ways to get the antibodies into people than we've ever had. So it might not even be vaccines, or better ways to handle this. And, you know, and there's been ways that we've handled this through the centuries. How many of you watching can remember when people took their kids to measles parties? I remember it. I'm pretty sure my mom took me to one. What I mean by that is and this has been reoccurring, by the way, lately, they expose their kids to somebody who's got the measles on purpose so they can get over the measles. They used to actually take their kids to somebody who had it so that somebody, if you had a relative and they got the measles, you took your kids to them and they got the measles and then your kids got over the measles. So that they wouldn't have it in an inconvenient time, you'd do it. Well, looks like now's a good time to do it. It's summertime, you know, they're not in school. Let's get them all the measles, and they'd get them all the measles and it'd be over with. They used to do these things. They're chicken pox, you know. And I had measles and chicken pox and all those things. They didn't have any vaccines when I was a kid, which is maybe the way I am right now. What's wrong with me? So that could explain a lot of things. I'm not suggesting that that's the way we do it. I'm just saying we've done these different things over the years. We're getting better ways to do things is what I'm saying. We're finding better ways to do things. So it's possible that things are actually going to get better, and the experience that we're going through right now might lead to breakthroughs like we've never had before. I know a lot of people have died of the virus, and I know that's been hard. I have had people say there's a comparison between this and the 1918 virus. Have any of you heard that? But I will tell you something that I heard that was very interesting. Do you know the 1918 virus, most of the people who died were 25 years old and younger? And this virus is after those who are my age and older. So there's something different. And yet, tragedy is all the same. You don't want anybody to die. My parents are not here. They'll see this next Sunday night. DCTV 10-21. Okay. And they will see this, and they have been living at Kingsbury Place here in Defiance. Assisted care facility. They've got a nice apartment there. It's great. It's really nice. And they've been on lockdown. Do you know this isn't the first lockdown they've experienced at Kingsbury? They had lockdown a couple years ago. And a couple years ago when they had lockdown, three people, at least, Dad's not sure if it's more than three, but at least three people died as a result of influenza connected to pre-existing conditions. Not a surprise that people who are in care facilities have pre-existing conditions, right? We know the vast majority of people who are suffering now are struggling because of pre-existing conditions with this thing on top of it. That's what's causing this pandemic to be so bad. So they've had no one in their facility have any problems this time because they shut them down right away. I mean, when the shutdown came, they shut down. I've seen my dad through the glass. I've waved at him a couple of times, you know, and I've taken stuff over and stuff that they need. I buy stuff and I drop it off on a little table, and somebody comes out to the little table and gets it, takes it back through the door to my dad, and we wave. That's the way it works. I heard a retired military guy who specialized in biowarfare on the radio the other day. You'll find this interesting. And he was saying that that while this is a horrible dark cloud right now, there is a silver lining, because he said this actually, as bad as it is not as bad as some other diseases that we could have ended up with. They have other strains of other things that they already know exist, and we didn't get it here in this country. As bad as this one is, this is not near as bad as some others. Now, in his opinion, this one wasn't even what he wanted to call bad. I don't know where he comes from on that, but he was saying, and we'll see what the numbers are when it's all over, won't we? Right now, we're being extra careful, and that's not unwise. But his point was, as a guy who specialized in biowarfare and that kind of information, he said, what we've had happen to our country now is we've developed all these ways of getting masks and shields and ventilators and everything else that we've done. He says, we've jumped into this thing with both feet, and we've created a supply chain of things that we would need if there was a really bad pandemic. If there was something way worse than this, we are now more prepared than we've ever been in history. And he said, for the first time, we're actually prepared for a biowarfare event. And I went, well, I guess. So everything has its, you know, is he telling the truth? I don't know. I just want us to realize that the truth, to me, is full of hope, while the lies are full of fear. And I think we, again, should be people who are promoting the truth and hope and encouragement instead of lies and fear. So I want to bring this down to a more personal level for us right now. We've all experienced the lies of the enemy, like, you know, things that he'll say to us personally, like, you're a loser, loser. And that came from a movie, didn't it? I don't remember what. Yeah, some of you. Anyway, you're remembering, but you can't tell me. How many of you have ever felt like the enemy was telling you, and you'll never amount to anything? Maybe you had parents who, you know, spoke those lies over you. You know, you're never going to do this. You're never going to do that. You know, all those kind of negative lies that the enemy puts forces us to hear, directs our way. And those little lies about us, our inabilities, our lack, our failures, how bad we are, those little lies become seedbed for bigger lies. So the bigger problem with truth that we may be facing right now can find its seedbed if we have little lies that we've been believing. One of my favorite things that the author Bill Johnson has written and said over and over is, I can't afford to have a thought in my head about me that God doesn't have in his. And I need to know what God says about me and not be thinking about what anybody else says about me. What God says about me is always the truth. What the enemy says about me is always a lie. And I need to get that really down into me so that I won't buy the stuff that the enemy wants to tell me, because it's not true. So God's motive is always for my benefit and to lift me up and to move me toward my destiny. And the devil's motive? Yeah. John 10:10. The thief does not come except to steal and to kill and destroy, but I have come that they might have life and have it more abundantly. And the word abundantly is not there. It's really just more. It's the idea that God's got more for you, and then when you've gotten more, he's even got more, and God's more never runs out, and the more of God is always there for us. So, just remember this. God good, devil bad. If the devil can get us to believe his lies, then he can keep us from believing the truth and becoming who God wants us to be. It's just that simple. So if you're watching with someone, tell them, be the one God has destined you to be. Just encourage them. So who does God say that you are? I mentioned it earlier, 41 things. I should have just taken one away. I could have said 40 things. But I got 41 things that God says I am, you are, we are, as believers. You ready? Here we go. You are a child of God, John 1:12. You are a friend of Jesus, John 15:15. You have been justified and redeemed, Romans 3:24. Your old self was crucified with Christ, and you are no longer a slave to sin, Romans 6:6. You will not be condemned by God, Romans 8:1. You have been set free from the law and sin of sin and death, Romans 8:2. You are a fellow heir with Christ, Romans 8:17. You have been accepted by Christ, Romans 15:7. You are called to be a saint, 1 Corinthians 1:2. In Christ you have wisdom, righteousness, sanctification, and redemption, 1 Corinthians 1:30. Your body is a temple of the Holy Spirit who dwells in you, 1 Corinthians 3:16 and 6:19. You are joined to the Lord and are one spirit with him, 1 Corinthians 6:17. God leads you in triumph and the knowledge of Christ. 2 Corinthians 2:14. The hardening of your minds has been removed in Christ. 2 Corinthians 3:14. You are a new creature in Christ. I want to see creation and creature at the same time. Creature. A new creature in Christ. 2 Corinthians 5:17. You have become the righteousness of God in Christ. 2 Corinthians 5:21. You have been made one with all who are in Christ Jesus. Galatians 3:28. You are no longer a slave, but a child and an heir of Jesus Christ. In Jesus Christ. Galatians 4:7. You have been set free in Christ. Galatians 5:1. You have been blessed with every spiritual blessing in heavenly places. Ephesians 1:3. You are chosen, holy, and blameless before God. Ephesians 1:4. You are redeemed and forgiven by the grace of Christ. Ephesians 1:7. You have been predestined by God to obtain an inheritance. Ephesians 1:10 and 11. You have been sealed with the Holy Spirit of promise. Ephesians 1:13. Because of God's mercy and love, you have been made alive in Christ. Ephesians 2:4 through 5. You are blessed and seated in heavenly places with Christ. Ephesians 2:6. You are God's workmanship, created to produce good works. Ephesians 2:10. You have been brought near to God by the blood of Christ. Ephesians 2:13. You are a member of Christ's body and a partaker of his promise. Ephesians 3:6. You have boldness and confidence to access God through faith in Christ. Ephesians 3:12. Your new self is righteous and holy. Ephesians 4:24. You were formerly darkness, but now you are light in the Lord. Ephesians 5:8. You are citizens of heaven. Philippians 3:20. The peace of God guards your heart and mind. Philippians 4:7. God supplies all your needs. Philippians 4:19. You have been made complete in Christ. Colossians 2:10. You have been raised up with Christ. Colossians 3:1. Your life is hidden with Christ in God. Colossians 3:2. Christ is your life, and you will be revealed with him in glory. Colossians 3:4. You have been chosen of God and are holy and beloved. Colossians 3:12. God loves you and has chosen you. 1 Thessalonians 1:4. I wanted to look up at you, but I wanted to read it fast for a reason. The reason I wanted to read it fast is because the Bible says all those things about you and way more. Like stopped in Thessalonians, didn't get all of everything in every gospel, didn't go to the Old Testament. You know, there's so much that God says about us in his word that is truth. And those are the truths that we need to hang on to when there's confusion and lies and deception and, dare I say it, and politics and things going on in a crazy world. Because just because we had a pandemic didn't mean the politics stopped either, did it? Yeah, it's just nuts. So after all that God's word says about us, the question is, who are we going to believe? Are we going to believe the way, the truth, and the life? Or are we going to believe the father of lies? It's just real simple. Now, just taking another angle on this, do you realize that we talk about sin around here and missing the mark? Do you realize that it is a sin to believe the devil rather than to believe God? Well, yeah. And I want you to understand that when you believe the devil and you don't believe God, God's not like, you dirty, you know. He's like, no, that's going to leave a mark. If you believe the devil, that's going to hurt you. And the devil's who he's been pounding, but you're the one that's going to get pounded because it's going to be bad for you when you believe the devil. The first sin was when Eve believed a lie instead of what she had been told by God. And every sin has a lie at its core. So, do you remember what that first lie was? Most of you do, but I'll read it to you. Genesis 3:5. For God knows in the day that you eat of it, your eyes will be opened and you will be like God. Satan told Eve that if she ate of the apple, that she would become like God. And here's the lie. She was already like God. She had been made in God's image and after his likeness. And so the devil lied to her to convince her that she was missing out on something or that God was holding out. And she wasn't getting something she should have. By the way, is it just me or have you noticed that like commercials nowadays when they're selling something, they want you to know that whatever it is, they're good product, you deserve it. If you notice that, I'm amazed with, we deserve everything. We deserve it. We deserve better. We deserve more. No, you probably don't, but, you know, God wants you to have more, that's for sure. So, it's also a sin to agree with anyone other than God when it comes to what you should do with your life. If I didn't believe the lie, if I didn't believe the lie that comes from the father of lies, I would actually never sin. Think about it. Sin is something I do to get something that I think is being held out on me, or I don't do it God's way to get it, or in a way that God wouldn't want me to do it. And the lie is, if you don't do this, you're not going to get that. So you got to do this even though it's wrong for some reason. Listen to Psalm 84, verse 11. For the Lord God is a sun and shield. The Lord will give you grace and glory. No good thing will he withhold from those who walk uprightly. When we do what God says is right, God's not ever going to hold out on us. He's not going to keep any good thing from us. So here's the truth. If God says don't do that, it's not because he just wants to control you. It's because he doesn't want you to have something that you think is good, but it's not. If you think it's butter, but it's not. Do you remember a commercial years ago? I don't know why that popped in my head. Okay, get out. But anyway, you know, no good thing will God withhold. So if it's being withheld from you, guess what? You didn't want it. That's what we need to remember. I don't want it. It's not good. It just looks like it'll be good. But it's going to turn out to be bad. I know I've used this illustration a lot of times. But when I say a lot of times, maybe five times over, or 10 times going back all the way 35 years of preaching. 10 times maybe I've used this. That seems like a lot of times to me. But some of you will remember me using this before. They tell a story of an elephant that was a baby elephant, and they had it in a circus. And when they got the baby elephant, they put a stake in the ground and a rope on the elephant, and the baby elephant could not pull the stake from the ground, nor could he break the rope. And then as the elephant continued to be trained and continued to grow, they continued to use the same stake and the same rope, because the elephant knew that once the rope was on the leg and the stake was in the ground, that he couldn't go anywhere. He knew that. Even though he got bigger and bigger and bigger and bigger and could have easily broken the rope or pulled out the stake. But he didn't do that because the stake was in the ground, the rope was on his ankle, and he just knew he couldn't go anywhere. So they didn't have to have a bigger one. And then one day, there was a fire. And the fire burned everything that was holding the elephant in, was burning around it, and the elephant died because he couldn't escape. Because he had the stake and the rope. But he was actually big enough. Had he not believed that he couldn't escape, he could have escaped. But he didn't believe it. So he never pulled the stake out of the ground, nor broke the rope. This is what the enemy classically tries to do to us. What we believe is powerful. And when we believe a lie, we give the lie power over us. And so that's why we need to be seekers of the truth more and more, because if the elephant had known the truth would have set the elephant free. Did any of you watching feel any doubt about all those 41 verses that I read and what they said you are? You read them. And sometimes you can look at what God says in his word about you, and you can question it, because you know you. We all know us. We all know what we're like. So I'm reading that list of 41 things that God says I am and that I have, and yeah, it can be hard not to doubt. Sometimes we have been told lies about ourselves so long that it just seems unbelievable. I don't know that I believe what was said about me, because I know my history. But when truth is revealed, it can bring a revelation that creates a separation between us and the lie that we believed for so long. The lie loses power, but more importantly, I get empowered. When I start to believe what God says about me, according to his word, I start to get power. Truth brings power. So when someone feels worthless, they need powerful people to help them feel their worth. Not only are we empowered when we believe the truth for ourselves, but the more truth we believe, the more powerful we become for others. Have you been around anybody who's believing a lie about themselves and you see so much potential and they don't see it about themselves? That's where we can become so amazingly powerful to help set others free. When someone feels stupid, when someone feels less than valued, when someone feels like they have no wisdom, we can come up with a verse like this one, James 1:5. If any of you lacks wisdom, let him ask of God, who gives to all liberally without reproach, and it will be given to him. God says if we don't know what to do, he'll help us figure out what to do. Wisdom is available. And when we know the truth can set us free from mediocrity. The truth can set us free from giving up before we've even started. What if we could respond to every lie with truth and love? Wow, we'd be world changers, wouldn't we? Even while I've been speaking this today, I'm sure the Holy Spirit has been exposing some lies to those that are listening. I want to deal with one more big lie. While a lot of lies and misinformation and half-truths may have been being scattered about right now as I began this message with, I want to tell you that I believe the truth will prevail. 2 Corinthians 13:8 says this, "For we can do nothing against the truth, but for the truth." No matter what lies are being promoted in our world today, I do not believe they will succeed ultimately. Everything we have ever known is not going to hell in a handbasket right now. In fact, as I talked about a little bit last week, it's not going to hell, but heaven is on its way here. And God has given us the job of being the ones to release heaven on earth. As we keep our eyes on Jesus, I believe that we're going to find out that we're going to be okay. We're going to be okay. I don't think God's nervous about what's going on the earth right now. I don't think he's worried about it. And I don't think we need to be either. I believe that our future may be brighter than we've realized. That some good things could be just around the corner for us. And while some people are screaming, the end of America as we know it, this might be the very thing that spreads some of the good pieces of the United States of America around the world. And if there are things that we aren't so good at, it won't hurt to change those anyway, will it? I believe that cures are coming. I believe that breakthroughs are coming. I believe that things that could change how we do everything for the good is coming. And I believe that when we get through this, we'll end up with a world that might even be safer than the one we had before. Not worse, not more dangerous. It's possible. And sometimes we just need to think about it.